Thank you, Mr. Tours. Our first speaker this morning, Mr. Randy Scribe.
Good day, everybody. Very good to see you all. Got a big crowd here today, which is good. The more the merrier. Welcome to all of you who are guests and visiting. If you are a guest or haven't been here for a little while, I'm on a four-part series. And this is part four and the last of my series on lessons about God from my life. Now, I've been talking about the things that I've been through as a person in the Church of God for the last 56 years and as a minister for the last 44 years. And I'm going to continue today, and I'll be talking about some things, and they do have a spiritual point. Now, it may not seem like it to begin with and sometimes, but it's what we learn about God. It's what God is teaching us. And the things that I've thought about that I would just like to leave you, my friends. The last time we talked about the places we've been around the country, and Reno and Las Vegas were the last two when United Church of God started. As I mentioned, I was working outside for the community college and pastoring the two congregations. And we talked about the house that God dropped in our lap, I mean, literally as far as a blessing. And we discussed my great real estate prowess before. But we were coming down to Phoenix, and we needed to sell this home. Now, we also talked about how cheap I am, so we didn't want to use a realtor. Nothing against realtors here. Love you guys, but I didn't want to pay the full realtor fee, you know, because that'll take away. So I thought, well, we'll need to, though, because we need to get down here. And Kay said, no, so let's try selling it ourselves first. I said, no, come on. You know, we gotta sell this home. We gotta get down here. She said, oh, let me try it. So she put a for sale sign up in front of the house. Actually, you can see it laying there down on the right hand side by the fence. But, so she put this for sale sign up. And I came down to Phoenix. I was doing some getting acquainted with you all back in, August at that time. And this couple drove by and saw the sign. And they're the ones that bought the house. So it's just one of the many things, you know, that God just works stuff out. And we could go on and on about the blessings that God gives. And but I'll just leave you that one. So we moved to Phoenix from Reno. Now, I don't know if all of you are aware that when we moved to Phoenix from Reno, we still had the Las Vegas congregation. And this was my business card after I was here for a little while, pastor of Phoenix Northwest, Northern Arizona, Albuquerque, and Las Vegas. So I had those four congregations for several months, and so we were busy. I told the church administration when they asked us to come here and to pastor the congregation here, I said, I won't come, but unless you promise me I'll stay busy. I don't want to just do nothing. They kept their promise. And about a year ago, somebody said, well, I thought you said you wanted to be busy when you came here. I said, that was 15 years ago. But anyway, I got plenty of busy. And we ended up with Sholo, Albuquerque, Phoenix East, Northwest Phoenix, and Yuma. And so that's been my last. When you get old, they start piling it on you for whatever reason. So watch out, Mr. Tuck. I want to do some concluding lessons today. A couple of major things, and again, you can go on, and we'd better learn lessons from what we go through, right? And that's what God wants us to do, is to get the big picture and to grow. So I've been thinking about those things, and I've got two things today, is it? And one main lesson as a result of 56 years in the Church of God and 44 years in the ministry is to embrace grace. I want to start back in Oceanside, California. I mentioned that when my parents were called, I was 10 years old. It was in Oceanside, California, down where you go to the feast now. And I believed the truth at that time. And I was reading the book 1975 in prophecy and was really kind of excited about prophecy and dead bodies and all those kind of things that are happening at the end. And I've always believed this is a way of life. But just because I believed it did not mean that I was always, like, living what we should live, right? So here's Oceanside, fourth grade, Mrs. Ostrey's class in 1960. And I'll tell you, my teachers liked me. They had to. Because they always wanted me to stand close to them, always wanted my desk right up front with hers. You know, they had an attachment. One of my teachers said, I know she loved me. She overheard her talking with another teacher and said, if I could just have him with me for 1 week. But, so here's a class picture in 1960, and I was standing next to the teacher. With a couple of friends, when the picture came out, I really don't think Mrs. Ostrey was as happy as I was, but and these teachers had to put up with some things, and she did not kick me out of school. So I was given grace. I was not given what I deserved at all times. But I grew and I learned. So, you know, you learn, well, you don't, like, make funny faces because it ruins it for everybody and all that type of thing, right? So as you grow, you learn. And I did learn. That's the important thing. You're given grace and you learn to do better. I got into Imperial Schools, which was the high school and grade school portion of Ambassador College and the Worldwide Church of God for many years. This is the magazine the yearbook we put out, Pasadena, Big Sandy, or Minnesota in Brickett Wood, where I've gotten some of the pictures I've showed you. And I did learn. I went there when I was 16. And graduated from there, spent a year and a half, and my picture at that time, I learned. That's me there in the middle, and I wasn't making any funny face. Just did the right thing, right? But I always didn't do the right thing. I can't say that I had a real wild teenage year period of time, but there was a time in Imperial Schools that some of the students were caught doing stuff they shouldn't have been doing, put it that way. And I had Dennis Montgomery, I was talking to him this week, and he said, you know, when I was called, I listened to Garner Ted Armstrong on the radio, and he was really interesting, and I loved to hear him and everything. And he said, did you ever know Garner Ted Armstrong? Well, yeah. That's Floyd Lochner. He was the principal of Imperial Schools. The superintendent of Imperial Schools was Garner Ted Armstrong. And Mr. Armstrong liked me so much, he called me up to his office one time. And I got to sit there with Mr. Armstrong in his chair there and Dr. Lochner in the other chair, and there was me. Garner Ted Armstrong, he said, Randy, he said, I was so happy when your family moved to Pasadena from San Diego and you got to come to Imperial Schools, and I was so happy for you that you were able to do that. And he says, but now, he said, I just wonder if I should let you stay. And short of it was, he did let me stay, and he granted me grace. Didn't kick me out, right? Well, I grew, and I didn't do the same thing when I went to Ambassador College. Went to Ambassador College in Big Sandy in 1968, and we enjoyed ourselves at college. I did study some, and one evening at Bible study, Mr. Les McCullough. Oh, okay. I did learn a lesson too. There's a class picture of that year in Big Sandy, and I didn't have the bad smile and everything. So I'm learning, right? I'm not making the same mistakes. So Mr. McCullough is giving a Bible study, and he says, been some things going on. Some people are doing some things, and we're finding out about it. And we're handling it. If you know Mr. McCullough, it's a fairly good imitation, isn't it, Jim? So after the Bible study, I went into Mr. McCullough's office. Yeah, he says, the ball is rolling. You know. I said, Mr. McCullough, I'm part of the ball that's rolling. He says, I'm aware of that. So what should we do with you, Randy? Should we kick you out? I hope not, Mr. McCullough. And so I straightened up, and Mr. McCullough gave me grace. I actually went into the ministry, as I said before, in 1972, and there's in 1980-something or other, my wife and myself, and we had refresher programs back at that time where we would go into Pasadena, and they'd teach the ministry, and we'd have various refresher program classes and educational, and one day the man that was over the ministerial services sent a note down to one of the classes I was in, and said that he wanted me to come up to his office after the class. And I'm thinking, okay, either I'm going to get raised in rank, or I'm in trouble. I wasn't sure which one it was. Well, I didn't get raised in rank. Oh. Mr. DeCotch called me into his office and he said, Randy, you've been here, you were talking about one of the ministers, you know, and he said, What are you don't talk about somebody like that? That's just no sir, you know, bad, yes sir, no sir. And so he said, I don't know, I should kick you out of the ministry. I said, I hope you don't, and he didn't. He gave me grace. And one of the lessons that I learned is to don't be talking about people. You know, there's a scripture that said, don't talk against the king, because little bird will tell you. So again, I was given mercy. I was given grace. I did not earn not being kicked out of one or the other circumstances. But that's the way our life is with God. You know, we are called. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 says, God our Savior showed us his kindness and love. He saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy. And I've learned to embrace that mercy. I've learned to embrace God's grace for putting up with me, for putting up with you, for putting up with the world and the condition it's in. It says he washed away our sins and gave us a new life through the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful that God hasn't dealt with me as I deserve at times. It says he generously poured out the Spirit upon us because of what Jesus Christ the Savior did. You know, he didn't look down, and I hope I'm not offensive to anybody. If I am, you need to rethink things. But he didn't look down upon you because he needed you so badly. Because you were so great that he just had to have you, and he can't do without you in the kingdom. Now, he looks down upon you because he loves you and he wants you there, but Actually, you didn't earn it. God is merciful to us. He declared us not guilty because of his great kindness, as Mrs. Austerlee did, as Mr. Armstrong did, as Mr. McCullough did, as Mr. Nakach did. But God, because of his kindness, gives us mercy and grace. And now we know that we will inherit eternal life. Ezra 9 verse 3 says, "You, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve." If you listen to Dave Ramsey, he's one of my favorites, talking about finances. Somebody calls into the radio show and says, "How you doing, Dave?" He says, "Better than I deserve." I love that. Better than I deserve. I appreciate God's three parts, no problem. Okay. But I appreciate God's mercy. And Proverbs 18:22 says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I appreciate that. You know her. I don't have to say more. I apologize to you for my own inadequacies. We cause offense. We say things we shouldn't, or we don't do some of the things we could. And one of the things that I've learned over the years is that no man is an island. Nobody knows everything or does everything well. I do some things fairly well, and I've got shortcomings. Mr. Talk will come here and he'll make up for some of the things that I've been short on. And I'm grateful for that. And you should be grateful for that. We don't have all the answers. We try. But God is the one that gives us our salvation. He's the one that guides us and leads us through. And early on in the ministry, I always was, if I would have just said the right words, you know, if I'd have just said the right thing, I could have helped them, you know, I could have saved them. But no, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and we do what we can. We do what we can for one another. So where I have been inadequate, I know there have frankly been people that said, I'll maybe come back after you're gone. And I feel badly about that, but I hope they come back. Maybe you can help them out. But we're not here because of how great we are. We're here because of God's mercy and God's kindness. So be thankful for that grace and that mercy. The rest of this, in Ezra chapter 9, verse 13, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve, you've given us such deliverance of this, should we again break your commandments? You know, a lot of people, when you talk about grace, say, well, you know, if you have grace, then you do away with the commandments. No, it's stupid to even think such a thing. And frankly, there's a lot of stupid people out there, to be honest. I'm sorry, adults, so you tell your kids not to say stupid. I apologize for that. But that actually think, well, you have grace, so the commandments are done away. And if you try to keep the commandments, then you're not under grace. Nothing could be further from the truth. In all those instances I was telling you about, if I would have continued in doing the wrong thing, I would not have been given mercy and grace. I had to change in order to be granted that grace. And we have to follow God's way in order to be granted grace. God's extension of grace should lead us to internalize his laws, not make the same mistakes, not neglect the law, but to internalize it, make it even more meaningful and say, wow, God's way works. Internalizing God's way and embracing the fact that he forgives us when we fall short, forgives us when we make those mistakes and we sin and come short of that glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not earning it. At the times I was granted grace, I wasn't granted grace because I earned it. I was granted grace because they were merciful. But, verse 10 says, God has made us what we are. In Jesus Christ, God made us to do good works. The upshot of each of those instances where they were wondering whether they ought to let me go or not was, have you learned your lesson? Are you going to do it again? If you are, go. If you're going to learn from it, if you're going to do better, if you're going to do good things and set a better example, then you're given grace. So God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Grasp that grace. Be thankful for God's mercy. And then do something with it because he called you to do his will and his works. Which brings us to my second and last point today. Live the vision. God called you, gave you mercy, wants you to be in his kingdom. He's given you grace, and now he called you to do good works. The UCG vision statement, which I've repeated many times, and I have tried to fully immerse, is a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity and bring many children to glory. Throughout the years in the church, there have been times when the ministry or the deacons, or deaconesses or leadership, kind of the core, and we ran the church. And it was, you know, the ministry knows everything. Ministry does everything. Elders and deacons. Now those offices are there for the service of God's purpose and God's people. And it's when we moved here. And it's when we were given more churches than we knew what to do with and could really handle effectively that I mentioned to everyone that I've got these five congregations or whatever it was. And I said, I cannot do it all. It's just physically, spiritually impossible. I said, we can. And I believe you've risen to the cause. Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. You're not growing to become like your minister. You're not growing to become like Herbert Armstrong. You're growing to become like Jesus Christ. And you're a body, you're a group that God called together and has mercy upon. In verse 16, he says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work and helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. It's not one guy doing the job. Impossible. It's only Jesus Christ that gives us that strength and that help. And Mr. Tuck is going to continue to need your mutual support for one another and the love that you've shown one another in this process. Yes, we fall short. We still need God's mercy. We still need God's grace where we don't do everything we should do. But looking back in the Phoenix area now in the 16 years we've been here, we've had the 50th anniversary of the Phoenix congregations, and we gathered together for a celebration. And how long ago was that now? 14 or 15 years ago? We've had our seniors who contribute through their encouragement and their support and their prayers and their actions as they're able to and as God gives them the help and the strength and the guidance to do so. And we had a honoring of the seniors. They're a part of that body, and every part supplies the growth. We've got our children who have been under the tutelage of their parents in the what we call the Deuteronomy 6 program, and the parents have been getting in there teaching their children, and the kids have been learning so much from that. And what you've put into it as parents and causing the growth of your children and the instructors that have been helping afterwards to kind of merge some of the things that the parents are teaching, and the kids are really growing and doing well. And again, I'm not under any illusions that we're all perfect, because we're not. We need that grace, right? We've had various activities over the time, and some of the kids that were little are getting bigger. They're growing up. The growth of the church physically, but in the process of growing the church spiritually. We've had fun times. We had a visit from Moses one time. Dan McGee. Meester Fenwick. Kids have been to camp. Kids have been to camp and become the counselors, grown in that way. This was Jake. He had the biggest sleeping bag I've ever seen in my life. And that was my sleeping bag. I've learned to backpack light because I'm getting old, but I could not believe that thing. I'm just still amazed. I had to have that picture. It was his dad's bag. Anyway. All the kids are growing, right? And then when we merged the congregation, we had our service fair, when one of the groups put up this, "The church wants you for your library information table service," and we all got an opportunity to look around to see where we could serve, how we could help out, how we could contribute to help the whole body grow together. And that's what you've been doing, and we appreciate all of the service that you've given to God's people. We made up a chart that says, hey, there are a lot of areas of service here, and you can contribute. You can kick in. And those of you that want to are doing so. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, today's English version says, "We who are strong in the faith ought to help the weak carry their burdens. We should not please ourselves. Instead, we should all please our brothers for their own good in order to build them up in the faith." And that's what we do here. Kim said, "This has been a great week." She says, "I was with some of God's people every day this week." Makes it a great week. And others of you said, "This is a great week now because the Sabbath is here and I'm with God's people." That's what it's about. It's not about any individual. It's not about our great knowledge or whatever. It's about building one another up and working towards the kingdom. "And may God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Where you haven't been doing that, start. Examine and see where you've held grudges or not forgiven, treated people poorly. That's what it's all about. And sometimes it takes time and takes going through lessons, but this is what God wants. This is what God is after, to build His family, the church of God, the body of Christ. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. God gave grace to everyone in this room who was willing to accept it and to follow His way, to go His direction. And who are we not to give and extend grace to those that God has? Hebrews 10 verse, or 6 verse 10 says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So every phone call you make, every card you write, every encouraging word you give, God remembers that. He loves it. and he can use you in his kingdom. Grace be with you all. Amen. Handing over the reins, buddy.